Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you want a home in the Central Florida area for any size family to visit Walt Disney World, Universal, or any of the other Orlando attractions, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at any of the DVC properties at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Hawaii at Aulani, Hilton Head Island, Vero Beach, or any of the other Disney resorts, contact DVCByRequest.com. Again, David's Vacation Club Rentals, DVCRequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter at any of the Disney World resorts, contact Scooter Vacations at ScooterLando.com. And last but not least, our great friends over at American Tourist Travel. If you want to book any Disney travel vacation, contact us at American Tourist Travel. I can help you personally. We also book anywhere else in the world you want to go. So please, guys, if you want to check out any of our sponsors, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. Now we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Have a great day.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, John. Hey, John, pull up a stool.
Jumbo, Doug. How are you?
I'm just happy I got through that. I thought I was going to fumble. I didn't even know how I said it because I was all messed up in my own head. It came out right, though. I did this. I had dyslexia of the brain, but it came out okay.
Well, you know, sometimes just shut it down and let your body do the mental memory, and you got it set, right? So muscle memory. There you go.
Yeah, that's the way we've been going. I mean, you know, I know we've been crying on air. We've been working a gazillion hours. You got to work out at the parks again today, don't you, John?
Yeah, I'll be leaving here after the podcast and heading over for see another five or six shows of the Lion King. So.
Yeah, is it getting tiring or what?
No, actually, I worked a 9.5-hour day yesterday, and it went by fairly quickly. So I'm still liking it right now. So, you know, there's so many different positions in there that you're doing a different thing just about every time. So, and I worked the best position yesterday. You know, so each audience or each section has a different name. You've got elephant, warthog, lion, and giraffe, and each section has two cast members that stand in it to watch the basically the babysitters. We're trying to keep the crowd from interfering with the actors. It's about the job that we have because people are just. Some people are just obnoxious and rude, and that's the fact.
I think more than half, John.
But so I did a lion section, I think, three times yesterday, and that's actually the one that goes out and they get IGs, which are invited guests, and they're people that have played for the Tiffin's dining package, or they paid for the backstage tour, or something like that, right? So usually we have groups out there waiting. At the exit, we go get them and escort them in. Well, there's certain shows, usually later in the night, where there's maybe not a full house of the ones that have paid for it, this and that. And as a lion, area worker, section worker, you get to go out into a crowd, the crowd that's coming to the Lion King show, and grab a family and put them in the front row. And that's the best thing, the best feeling in the world is to actually make some magic for some people and make them happy. So that counterbalances the fact when I get back down there and I have to tell all these kids, no, you can't go in the parade.
So that should be Santa Claus instead of Scrooge.
There you go. Making magic and destroying kids' lives. That's what I'm doing here.
But I'm glad you're enjoying it. It seems like this show's a lot of fun. How's all your castmates?
For the most part, yeah, there's a lot of really cool people that work there, and actually this one's a little more. There's quite a few more of people in their 30s, and even a couple of guys that are a little older than me. Actually, there's a legacy guy that works there. His name's Peter, and he's in a wheelchair, and he's got the Legacy Award. You've probably seen him. He's all over Facebook all the time. People love to get a picture with him and stuff. And so he works there, and and then several people that are a little closer to my age, but for the most part, I'm still one of the oldest guys there. And a couple of the college kids that are there now is one from Australia and one from New Zealand. So that's really cool just to talk to them and hear their accents.
Hey, mate.
So. Exactly. So.
You need to get your picture taken with Peter. Peter and Peters.
There you go.
No, but I'm glad you're enjoying it. Is there, come on, between us, there has to be that one guy. Is there always that one? There's always that one guy on the job. Is there that one guy yet or girl?
There's a couple that are, there's like a clique that a high school clique that actually works here.
So. Do they call themselves the Simbas or something like that? They're too cool for all you.
But they're, yeah, there's definitely this cool section, and one of the guys that trained me, he was part of it. So it's just, you don't feel totally, but that's fine. I mean, hell, I work on the weekend. I don't care. I'm a grown man. I don't need to be a cool kid. So, you know what I'm saying? So.
You know, if I was down there, I'd give you a hug, John. It's okay, buddy. But I'm happy for you, John. You seem like the days are going by a little better. I know you missed the train. I mean, wouldn't it be cool if maybe when you go back, you go back and forth between the two?
Well, supposedly from what we heard yesterday, and it conveniently is supposed to reopen on April 1st. I don't know if it's an April Fool's joke or what. And anyhow, that's the rumor we heard. It's going to reopen on April 1st, but it sounds like everybody's going to have to get retrained and everything, retrained at the train. And maybe we'll have the opportunity to choose back and forth. What I'd love to do is just stay at Lion King, work a long shift there on Saturdays, and maybe go into the train on a Sunday for a 5 or 6 hour shift.
That would be nice. It would be nice, too, because it would shake it up for you. You're not stuck with the
exactly.
Same. Like me, just slapping mud on and slapping mud off, slapping mud on, slapping mud off. Like this job we have at Harris, it's one of the worst ones because, I mean, the guys I'm working with are great. I get along with everybody. They're all a bunch of great guys, but it's like it's 16 floors of the same thing, and we're all on the same duty. I said duty, John. Say laugh, duty. But anyway, it's like Groundhog Day every week. It's the same thing. At least like when you're doing certain jobs, you'll do this one high part, you'll do a different soffit, you'll do different things, designs or whatever. You understand what I'm saying? To explain it to you, you'll do some different. This here, it's the same thing over and over. I'm trying to get these stupid walls ready for paint, and it's like they're the same walls by the door for 16 floors. So.
Yeah, I can understand that. That's the problem I had with the train. It was like a 9-hour day. It was basically, unless you were driving, it was just the same thing over and over. And then you go on break and you come back and you get stuck in the same position. So.
Yeah, unless you got to meet a nice family or something like that. But there was something about that train. The landing area is, it's like, I don't know, it's like there's a big sign up that says, quiet please and don't talk, and don't talk or something, doesn't it? Like that platform, it's like when everybody enters that platform, it's like all energy is gone.
Yeah, and you know, part of that's the cell phone generation, you know. I mean, everybody gets in there and they're standing around, and I'm as guilty as it is anybody else. I mean, you know, you get bored for a minute, and out comes the cell phone, and you start fiddling around with stuff. So,
dude, I find myself, I'm laying in bed watching the Sixers game. The minute it's timeout, I'm right to the phone. Brenda's asleep. I can't go without it. I mean, well, it's all you guys. It's like all our wonderful friends out there, like you, Robbie, Judith, Jim. Can't wait to see if Jim's sending you a free beer or something and trying to stick it to me. Or
got to see what's going on Facebook, you know, man. Got to check it out.
Yeah, Carmen and Brian, they're at Myrtle Beach. As you see, they're from The Adventures of Peas and Carrots. They were celebrating Christmas again.
Oh, cool.
So, but anyway, I can't. This is one job. The guys are great. Everything is good. It's just it's not one. It's not a job. It's one of the jobs you can't wait to be over. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It sounds like we work with a great group of guys. The pay is good, and you're not out in the cold, but still, you're bored out of your mind. So.
It's a lot of hours, dude. We're doing 10-hour days. I actually had off yesterday because it was my mom's, our mother-in-law's 85th birthday. So happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday. I hope she had a great one.
Yeah, we, you know, my poor wife, she got the cold that we all have. She's been hacking like nobody's business. It's one of those colds that we both have that neither one of us has slept in a week because once one dozes off, the other one's coughing and shaking the bed.
You trade it back and forth. Yeah, Lisa's got allergies. Stuff's in bloom down here already, of course. The oak trees are going nuts. So, yeah, be warned if you are coming down on vacation and you have an allergy to oak trees, you might want to make sure to bring your allergy pills because they are, and because of the rain we had earlier this year, they are blooming really, really heavy. So.
No, it's been a nasty few weeks. I mean, I'm thankful. Nobody wants to complain. Happy to be working the whole nine yards. It's just when you do six tens, John, and you're driving 2 to 3 hours a day on top of it. You know how it is, John. You're doing the same thing. It just gets long. You don't feel like you're home at all. You miss your family.
No, and then your yard starts to look like crap, and you can't keep up with the chores, and your honey-do list gets so long. Yeah, I know the feeling.
Mine went from honey-do list to, yo, butthead, get it done. I'm just kidding. She's not that way. But you get what I'm saying. That's what I feel like. It's like, yeah. Yo, idiot, when are you going to get something done around this house?
Yep.
That's what I feel like. And then the weather, the snow, the rain, that hasn't been helping either. The cold, you know, -4 degrees, that ain't conducive to going out and fixing the house. You know what I'm saying?
I can't complain about that one, so no. I'll leave that one alone.
Yeah, you're a lucky dog, you. But anyway, now I got another. Dude, do you ever have those little bites? Those little bites, the little bite brownies from Hostess. I think they're from Hostess. Little bites or muffins. You know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about. I don't have any, but yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But if you notice it, like I had them for, as I was rushing this morning, I needed something before we got on. I'm really not Russian. I'm Irish and Indian, but I was rushing this morning.
Oh, and, Lord.
Come on, man. I'm good. But anyway, that just came to me, John. Be good. You laughed, didn't you? It might be corny,
close,
but you did
close.
Laugh. You did laugh.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, I grabbed a bag of them. His mom bought them for me. It was sweet. She'll go out every once in a while shopping. She tries to bring me home treats that Brenda gets mad at me for. You know, that's the whole thing at the house. I bring mom treats. Mom brings me treats. And Brenda gets mad at us for eating our treats. she loves us. But these little bites and the brownie bites, dude, it's like everything else. And I know you'll notice this, what I'm saying is, I opened up the bag, there's supposed to be four of them in there. Dude, they went from a full-size muffin down to, it barely fits in the palm of your hand. I mean, they're so small. I mean, they're about a quarter the size they were about 5 or 6 years ago when they started.
When I worked for...
And they're five times as much.
I've worked for Edie's Ice Cream before I worked for Häagen-Dazs, delivering their ice cream. And what they did at one time is they went from a 1 gallon size container to a 3 liter size container, or a liter size container. So it looked to be the same size,
yeah.
But it was smaller. And then they even raised the price by about 10 cents or 20 cents. So they were paying for more, but getting less. And it was a sneaky, sneaky deal. They never said anything about it. Just all of a sudden, it was a smaller container.
Yeah.
So
it kind of reminds me of like paying for a full day in the park, but having to leave at 7 o'clock because of a party.
After a price increase.
Yeah, but that's what cracks me up. Now, I'm complaining about that, and I know all you out there probably agree with me at first in Disney World. Our Disney little world here. But now that I bring up what I just said, now I'm an idiot. You know what I'm saying though, John? It like everybody will complain about, man, this bag of chips is half hair. And I'm paying twice as much. Am I wrong?
Oh yeah, that one's true too.
But you'll go down to the park, you'll pay for a full day and you only get a half day. And now everybody's saying it's okay. No, it's fine. I love you, Disney. Thank you. And the good thing, thank goodness, John, did you see the quarterly report? They made money.
Oh, they made some more money, didn't they?
The parks are doing good. And now, Bob, Mr. Bob, I just want to reach in your pocket and take every last penny. Iger is saying he's not going to be doing much more to Disney World once this is all said and done. He's done with it. He's going to focus all of his energy on doing the Netflix channel. All real. His basic quote was, the future of money is all online. It's not going to be in the parks. So the way I read the article, and I could be wrong, the investment now, the smart investments now would be to all the streaming merchandise, not the parks anymore.
I don't know. He came out with that something very similar to that of what about 10 years ago, and since then we've got New Fantasyland and the we've got Star Wars Land coming. We've got all the expansion at Hollywood Epcot now. We've gotten Pandora. So I think maybe he may have to retract that statement in a couple of in a year or two if Universal comes out with another great thing, because that's what happened last time. Harry Potter kicked their butt and he went, oh yeah, we'll show you. So
so basically, what you're saying, he's a liar. Good.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it past him that we may see more stuff again in a couple of years. Yeah. So.
No, the positive thing is we're all happy because they increased the Parks and Experience and Consumer Products revenue for the quarter increased 5% to $6.8 billion is all they made this year at the parks and poor babies. And segment operating income increase of 10% to $2.2 billion. Oh my goodness! Oh, we got to the GoFundMe needs to be done, John.
Make some money. We got to help them out.
Yeah. During the earnings call, Disney CEO, or I like to call money grubbing Bob Iger, also mentioned that he expects Star Wars Galaxy Edge to require very little marketing behind him tweeting it's open. Iger also.
Well, that may be true. I don't think he has to do anything else. So
no, we all do it for him.
Yes. Yeah. Well, exactly. I don't think. I mean, I'll be out there telling you about it. So there you go. So think about. And we're just one small podcast. Imagine all the free media that's going to be out there. So it's going to be crazy. They don't have to market it at all.
And here comes the Lou Mangiello quote of the whole story. I'm just picking out highlighted moments that I have from this story. But listen to this arrogant SOB. And we're supposed to eat this up. Mentioned that Disney will continue to help you out to manage attendance patterns through pricing in order to improve the guest experience. So we're going to charge you more so there's less, so we can thin out the crowds is basically what it's about, John.
Is that what you read between the lines there? I think that's what you read.
Ain't that what you read too?
That's what I interpreted it as, yes, yes.
Yeah. This is the exact quote. Disney will continue to manage attendance patterns or the pricing in order to improve guest experience. So basically they're telling you we're going to charge you more to thin out the crowds to improve your experience. I just said to the guy when I bought my car last time, could you please charge me 10 grand more? Because I like it better if it costs me more. Damn it, you, when I went out to dinner last night. Why was it only $35 a head? $50 a head makes it taste better. Please charge me more.
I think the problem is, Doug, that they're charging more, but they're still allowing the same amount of people to come
in. Exactly, John. Exactly.
If they had taken the Christmas and the Halloween parties and said, okay, we were allowing 35,000 people to come in at $75. Well, now we're going to charge $85, but we're only going to allow 25,000 people to come in. That way we're close to making the same amount of money or maybe even a little more, but we'll have 10,000 less people. That would have made sense. But they don't do that. They just charge you the $85 and still bring in the same amount of people.
They're charging more and letting more people in.
Yes, yes. So it defeats his comment. I mean, because they're not
again lying, Bob Iger, lying SOB, Bob Iger, lying SOB, money grubbing, hungry Bob Iger.
The following comments that Doug are the opinions and reflections of Doug Davis, not of John Peters, employee of the Walt Disney World Company.
Yeah, exactly. But am I lying? No, I'm not. It's the truth. I mean, I know emails and DMs will come today. My apologies.
Well, you're off today. You can handle today. So.
Yeah, but it's sad, John. It really is. Did you hear about this, John, which sounds pretty cool? Disney testing smart speakers in guest rooms at Disney Giant Beach Club. Now, I like this for one reason. It sounds pretty cool and all, but, dude, I don't trust Alexa in my own house. I don't know, being at Disney. Yeah, I mean, do you? Smart speakers may be coming to guest rooms at Walt Disney World as a pilot program to begin at the Disney Yacht and Beach Club. Guests staying at the resort are being randomly selected to take part in a test where a smart speaker in the room can be used to access information about their vacation. As a smart speaker in the home, such as Apple HomePod or Google Home, guests staying at the hotel can use the speaker to access things like weather, music, but specifically for Walt Disney World, they can check park hours and bus information. For Disney, this latest test represents a continued drive to add more technology to guest stay at Walt Disney World. Recent developments include Bluetooth room entry, mobile food ordering, and continuing enhancement to My Disney Experience app. I mean, I think it's cool that they're trying this, but I really don't want this in the room recording all my conversations with my wife. I don't know about you.
I'd be afraid that it would just start randomly speaking for no reason whatsoever. You didn't ask it anything, and then all of a sudden it just chimes up, and you know, in the middle of the night or in the middle of the afternoon when you're trying to get a nap or something, and freaks you out. So why can't they just put the bus information on the TV channel, you know,
or on
information,
or on let phone. Me or My Disney Experience. You already have it on.
Yeah, I know, right?
I'm that lazy. I need to say, could you tell me when the bus is coming? The phone's already in. If you're really into this, your phone's probably already in your hand, or your Apple
exactly.
Watch is on your wrist. Am I wrong?
They really should have so that you go into My Disney Experience and you can check out your resort you're staying at and everything. There should be something that once you're at that resort, you check in, you should be able to have a separate page or something like that that adds on, okay, so now you're here at the Coronado Springs, and now here's the daily plans that's going on. Here's the time of the pool parties for the kids. You know, here's the like if you're at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, here's the time we're doing a wine tasting down at GECO. Here's all this information, and then ongoing thing of the bus, but approximate bus times. You know, something like that. And once you're out of that resort or you check out, then you can just go ahead and delete it from your phone.
Well,
so.
And this is one of my other complaints of 1,000, which everybody knows. It's stuck again. But anyway, John, do you remember you've stayed at Riverside many times, right?
Yes.
Don't you miss the newspaper when you used to check in
with
all the
really
information?
Cool, right?
Okay.
Yeah.
So why not Disney give you that on your My Disney Experience app, as each resort has its own? Like, I don't know what's going on there. I don't know what time the movies are playing and stuff. You know what I'm saying? It used to have everything on it that was going on at the resort that week. Now, why can't it be like an e-reader form where it pops up on your Disney Experience, your hotel, and they have that newspaper like that, even if it's on the phone then? Wouldn't you like to have
that information? All that information, you know, what time and approximate times the boats are going to be running, you know, everything like that. It would be very convenient, and it would make a lot more sense to me than having a speaker in your room that could, like you said, be recording you for all you know. So,
yeah, I would love to. I would love to have that, John. I miss that. Used to be my favorite thing. I'd run in the door, check us in while Brenda was freshening up. I'd be laying on the bed reading that paper from first word to last word on it.
Yep. I think they still do something like that on the cruise ships when you check in, or you get a daily little newspaper on the cruise ship, I think. At least the last time I was listening to somebody talk about a cruise. So.
Yeah, I just missed that. The Sasquatch Times or whatever the heck it was called.
Yep.
I don't know. It's just me, Philip, you know, crying. But I love that. And I'm sure, and I stayed at other resorts. Every resort had that little fact, you know, facts and newspaper of what's going on, the itinerary for your stay that week.
Yeah, and it made you feel like it was just another element that gave you that uniqueness of staying at a resort, because everyone was kind of themed to the particular resort you were at. It gave you a sense of a community, almost like reading your local newspaper.
Absolutely. So. I miss that. Like, I didn't get that at Hojo's on the way down or Port Arthur by Marriott. It was one of the things that used to be special to Disney. It's like all these little things are little by little being taken from us. I don't know, but I don't want that speaker in my room, John. I could just see, couldn't you, like, I imagine crazy things. Like, could you imagine, like, it starts telling you about the last guest that stayed there? you know,
that'd be
I
a
mean,
little creepy.
How do you know it won't, though? I mean, I've heard stories of the Alexis in houses doing all kind of crazy stuff, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that. You walk in the room.
Those yet, so.
Yeah, you walk in the room and it starts playing that funky, sexy music. Oh, lady. You know, oh, whoa.
Whoa, I'm by myself.
Oh, sorry. It was the last guest here. You know, it's like, I want nothing to do with that speaker, dude. It's creepy. What are they going to do next? Oh, we're going to put cameras in all four corners of your room. So this way we can enhance your safety. Enough is enough, big brother.
It's all about you because they want to make sure that, you know, there's no housekeeper fiddling with any of your stuff. So we have to put the cameras in there, right? So.
Oh, yeah. All about me. It's crazy. I don't know. What do we got next here, John?
All right. You see Mariachi Cobra present the story of Coco at Epcot this spring. So this looks cool. I think they've done this something similar to this in California because they've got video of it already. So Epcot's Mexico Pavilion will debut a new musical show this spring as Mariachi Cobra present the story of Coco. Mariachi Cobra will be joined by a pair of Foldrico dancers to tell the story of Miguel Riviera, his love of music, and his journey to find what matters most, his familia. The dancers perform the music of the film, pulling everyone into the celebration, and Miguel himself appears in the form of a whimsical, handcrafted puppet. Disney said that the new show will be formed in addition to the existing performance of traditional mariachi music by the group. So there you go, we're not losing the mariachi guys either. So, the new Coco show begins March 6th of this year. And this will be the second time that the Mexico Pavilion has performed a show to Coco, with the last taking place in 2017 as part of the holidays around the world.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I like that. I'm good with that.
Yeah, and if you haven't seen it, it's a little, almost a little creepy looking until you get used to watching it, because the puppet is basically almost on a harness in front of a full-grown man. And so the man kind of dances and sings and stuff, but the Coco puppet is basically right in front of him, and he's, puppeteering his actions and stuff. So once you get accustomed to it, it's really cool, but you have to kind of get over the fact that there's this guy standing right behind him. So.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, John. I've seen a few puppeteers, like things like that, that is kind of weird.
Yeah. But. So.
Did you see that Beauty and the Beast is closing February 24th through March 9th and reopening on March 10th? When I first seen this, I thought maybe it was some kind of slowly but surely something going on down there at Rock and Roller Coaster, Tower of Terror. You know what I'm saying? I thought maybe this might be the first, you know, first shoe to fall, if you follow me. But
yeah, that's what we were speculating about a week ago, but it doesn't look like it. Looks just like a refurb, huh?
Yeah, just normal stuff, yeah. Redoing the seats, you know, cleaning up the theater, fresh coat of paint, you know, that whole deal.
Yep.
But we'll see. I thought for sure they'd be doing something down there. I think it's sooner than later, though, John.
Yeah. Sooner, yeah. We get their own IP properties like we talked about instead of paying Aerosmith and Twilight Zone, so. Well, speaking of refurbishments, did you see Casey Jr. Splash and Soak Station is going to be closed? That's going to be closed February 11th through March 24th, and that's, of course, that little water play area there in Fantasyland in the Magic Kingdom for your kids or big kids in the middle of the summer, like I have been known to do. So, but
I could see you now with your Dole Whip in your hand. Oh, looking, trying to act like you're not paying attention as you walk through there to get wet.
Just
oh, how did I end up here?
Oh my gosh, look at that! I'm soaked. So,
poor baby. Poor baby's looking at you running around there like a knucklehead. Look, one of the dwarfs escaped. One of the dwarfs escaped. He's in here roaming around getting your autograph. They probably all tried to get their picture with you.
Yeah, as long as it wasn't Gropey. No, it wasn't not Gropey. Might have been Tubby, but it wasn't Gropey.
Tubby. That's funny. It's pretty – I know things go down for refurbishment, but this is soon. This hasn't been open that long.
Actually, it was one of the first elements that opened. Yeah. You know what? Doug, it has been open quite a while because it was the first thing that I tried to take pictures of and send to you and Scott.
Scott.
Yeah, you and Scott when you were doing the podcast. It was the very first element that I saw out there that I knew you guys had been talking about. So I took a picture of it and tried to send it to you, and it was a crappy picture, so you never talked about it. But yeah, way back when. So that's got to be. 4, 5, 6 years ago. So
yeah, no, it was longer than that. If it was me and Scott, yeah, at least yeah, six, it was. Seven, maybe. Yeah,
Yeah, it was one of the first elements that opened in Fantasyland, I think even before Dumbo and stuff. So
yeah, because we roamed through it last trip. I didn't go in it, but I seen the kids playing in it. Was, you know, thank God we had nice days, but it looked pretty good shape. I mean, it still looks nice. I guess they're just going to repaint some of the trains and stuff like that, the little cabooses and all that stuff there.
Well, there's still a water pump stations and all that type of stuff. So I wouldn't doubt they just need to clean all that filtration system out and stuff like that, just like Splash Mountain or any other water rides that you have to go down every once in a while. So
yeah, that's probably it, John. Probably to clean the water out.
Yeah.
Want to read this thing about the Italian Winter Festival is returning to Mario and Enzo's, Johnny?
Yeah, that sounds good. Carnival. The traditional Italian Winter Festival is returning to Maria and Enzo's. Famous in Venice and known as Mardi Gras outside of Italy, Carnival is a spectacle of glamorous costumes, culinary delicacies, and riotous celebrations. February 22nd through March 5th of this year, guests who visit Maria and Enzo's Ristorante at Disney Springs will get a front row seat to nightly live entertainment, including singers, stilt walkers, jugglers, mimes, face painters, and folk dancers, while indulging in the restaurant's signature Italian cuisine. So, I haven't actually walked all the way inside this place. This looks a lot more elegant than I had actually thought it was.
Oh, it's beautiful in there. It's very nice. I poked my head in, but I didn't eat there. We meant to eat there last trip, but you know how it is. You zig one way and you end up zagging three other ways.
Yeah. Instead, you went and had a couple of mediocre dishes. So.
Yeah, well, that was sad. I don't want to get into that again. Anyway. Where are we at now? Garden Rocks Concert Series lineup completed now? Who are we missing, John?
I don't know. We went through a bunch of them. Let's see. Do you see anybody that we didn't mention last week?
I clicked it, but my computer is trying to be an idiot.
So, all right. Let's see. March 6th through the 8th is Journey. 9th through the 10th is Glass Tiger. 11th through the 12th, John Anderson of Yes. March 13th to the 14th is Tony Orlando. 17th to the 20th is Simple Plan. I've never heard of them. You?
Yeah, I've heard of Simple Plan. Okay. I'm simple.
March 21st to the 22nd, Ambrosia, Biggest Part of Me. 23rd and 24th, Magic Giant, Set on Fire. 25th to the 27th is Doug's favorite group of all time, Air Supply.
It's not my favorite group of all time, but they played one of my favorite songs of all time because I got engaged with my wife to it. So
well,
nice
that should make it your favorite group of all time. So.
Nah.
March 28th, 29th is Berlin featuring Terry Nunn, Take My Breath Away. March 30th to the 31st is The Smithereens, Top of the Pops. April 1st to the 2nd, Rick Springfield. We all know Jesse's Girl.
Jesse's Girl. Go ahead.
I think he only had one other song or so. Well, he had a couple other ones, I think, but boy, that one was a massive hit, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, it was. Loved him, boy.
Oh, man. April 3rd to the 4th, Christopher Cross, Sailing. April 5th to the 7th, The Spinners.
Working my way back to you, babe.
April 8th to the 9th. April 8th to the 9th, Dennis DeYoung, member of the Styx. Come Sail Away, of course. April 10th to the 11th, John Michael Montgomery, a country star in the middle of everybody.
Yeah, I remember he was hot on one of the trips me and Brenda took down. I remember he was big at that time when driving down. I remember listening to a lot of his crap.
Yeah, I think it was you want to talk about how long ago me and Lisa got together when we were first got together and had finally met up and everything, and I still had like 6 months left in the Navy. We did the corniest it was the 90s, but it was still an 80s thing to do. We made the cassettes up for each other.
Oh, Jesus. You were an old fart mixtaper, huh?
I'm telling you. But yeah, John Michael Montgomery was definitely on some of them tapes. April 12th to the 13th, Sister Sledge, We Are Family.
I had all my brothers, sisters, and me. Go ahead.
Okay, there you go.
You know I just sing this for Judith because she loves my voice so much.
I know she does. She has said that. So April 14th to the 16th, Night Ranger, Sister Christian. April 17th to the 19th, staying with the sister theme, we're going to go to Sister Hazel. But they're going to All For You. April 20th to the 21st, Stephen Curtis Chapman, Cinderella. Now, I wish I was the group Cinderella, and I'd probably go see it.
Oh, Jesus.
April 22nd,
23rd. What would you put your hair extensions in to go on?
I don't know. I'll have to find my mullet somewhere. I don't know what I've done with it. So, April 22nd, 23rd, Toby Mac, The Elements. April 24th, 26th, Lone Star, Amazed. Yeah, I like the fact that they've got. This is a variety of music. It's over the friggin' place,
absolutely.
You know?
I don't know where the opera is, but it should be on there.
Yeah, I mean, we've got everything from classic rock to country to rhythm and blues. So, yeah, it's quite the variety. So, April 27th to 30th, the orchestra. Well, okay. The orchestra.
No, that's ELO. ELO. Evil woman. She's an evil woman. And then Turn to Stone is the best. And then they have another one called Operator.
Oh, there you go.
Not the one that Jim.
You like some ELO, don't you?
Oh, I love ELO.
May 1st to the 4th, Herman's Hermit, starring Peter Noon. I'm Henry the 8th, I am. And the only way I know that song is from Ghost.
Okay.
So,
you and Lisa making some pottery together? I get to see you now,
yeah,
John.
But now we're back to that. Yeah, that was one of the first movies we saw together. May 5th to the 7th, Don Felder.
I can just see you going out and getting some mud, get a little pottery board, John. I can see you and Lisa making some vases together. Flock of Seagulls, John.
Flock of Seagulls, I Ran So Far Away. So Far Away. 10th to the 11th, Marshall Tucker Band. Heard It in the Love Song. 12th
I think
to the
13th. This is who's new. I don't remember Peebo Bryson last week.
Yeah. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, I know who he is. I don't know the song, but I know who Peebo is.
All right. So that's May 12th to the 13th. 14th and the 15th, Richard Marx, right here waiting. 16th to the 19th, former members of Starship, Mickey Thomas, We Built This City. 21st, Colin Hay of Men at Work, Who Can It Be Now? There you are.
Even though I never liked them, but that song is like, it just sticks in your head. It's like It's a Small World.
You hear it. 22nd and 23rd, War. Why Can't We Be Friends? I love the name of the group is War, but Why Can't We Be Friends?
It's like calling the fat guy skinny.
Yeah. 24th to 27th, The Guess Who, American Woman.
Guess Who.
28, 29, John Cicada, Just Another Day.
Or I like to say Cicada.
Cicada. May 30th to June 1st, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Spinning Wheel. And June 2nd to June 3rd, Eddie Palmieri. So, let's see, May 10th to the 11th. We'll have the chance to see the Marshall Tucker Band, or Peebo Bryson, or maybe Richard Marx. So, that's when we're going to be out there, so.
Well, I think you're going to go see some Peebo.
Of all of them, I have no idea who that is. Marshall Tucker Band, I wouldn't mind. And Richard Marx, I think, would be okay, too. So.
You know this song. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
I don't know what genre you put it in, but he was popular for a while.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like adult contemporary, basically.
Soul, that whole era, you know.
Okay.
Kind of like in the Luther. Not as good as Luther, but in that kind, you know what I'm saying.
Smokey Robinson, around that.
Yeah, he could sing.
Okay.
But anyway, you'll have a good time. Peebo has a good voice. So you'll be there for Marshall Tucker Band, Peebo, and Richard Marx.
Yeah, I don't know if we'd actually sit and watch any of them, but as you said so many times, Doug, it's cool just to hear live music as you're walking around, so you make your way past the American Adventure Pavilion, because as we all know, except for maybe Pat, that theater is located in the American Adventure Pavilion. But
thank you for saying that, John, because I'm always the heavy around here. I'm always the bad guy, John. I'm bad every once in a while.
I'm feeling like me and Pat are getting along, so I can tease him a little bit, too, you know, so...
Yeah, he don't like me anymore. I love him with all my heart, but he don't like me anymore. Mickey Dudes have another good show out this week. Go check them out, the Mickey Dudes podcast. Also, I want to be doing something with our buddy Sean from the Tiki Talk soon. We've been trying to do each other's show lately again, so go over and check the Enchanted Tiki Talk out. So
yeah, and speaking of other podcasts that we get along with and stuff like that, I've met Derek from the Grim Grinning Ghost a couple of times out at Epcot. One time at Epcot and one time at Animal Kingdom. So yeah, if you're looking for new podcasts, give them guys a try too. They're a lot of fun, and they're good Southern boys. So there you go. So you get a nice mix.
Y'all come back now, you hear?
There you go.
What's up next, John? I'm still freaked out by that smart speaker, dude. I really am.
I don't know, Doug. If you're looking to spend some more money, looks like you can go over to the Yacht and Beach Club. They're going to be offering poolside cabanas at the big giant pool.
They're going to be free, right?
I'm sure they are. Each cabana will feature lounge chairs, towels, TV, refrigerator with soda and water included, and a fruit basket. Pricing is $199 plus tax for a full day, or $129 plus tax for a half day. So, you know, and we were so close to making sure it was free, but
I don't get it, man. I mean, didn't you pay enough to stay at the Yacht and Beach Club? Shouldn't you get a freaking umbrella over your head if you want one?
And that's such a crowded pool anyway. They do a decent job of making sure that only the people staying at the Yacht and Beach Club are going to that pool. And actually, that's the only one that I've seen really strict on it, because it does have such a cool slide. It's got a little lazy river. It's got sand bottom pools. So it's a beautiful pool, an absolutely gorgeous one.
Oh, it's awesome. But
yeah, you are spending a fortune to stay out there. So, and if you're using your points, you're spending a lot of DVC points. So yeah, you would think maybe... I mean, if they're going to put them in, they're going to have to charge for them, because otherwise people just get there and put their towels out and have them up all day. But
okay, but what about there? So, but they're not. Are they adding space to this? Are they taking space away from what?
They're probably taking space away from
exactly,
regular tables and
John.
Chairs.
Exactly, John. So now they're going to add a big pay area and leave you all fighting even more for the free chairs area.
Yeah, I imagine, and they're going to probably take the best spots over by, you know, like next to the building and
you
stuff
think?
Like that, where there's going to be some. Not right there on the pathway. So, you know, us poor folk. Well, if you're staying at the Yacht and Beach Club, I don't guess you're
too poor.
The
bottom line
anyway,
is enough already. Yeah. Just refurbish the area for the guests that you have there. I mean, why do you got to start everything is an upcharge. Everything, dude. They're going to start segregating the buses from medium front and back to payment. They might make you ride twice around the loop to hold you longer. They might have a bus where you got to travel twice as far to get to the park so they can thin out the crowds for you. If you don't pay, the second bus is only allowed to do 10 miles an hour. And the other buses that you pay for go faster to and from the parks.
Or they'll have the express bus service, and then they'll bring the big accordion one for for everybody else that didn't pay. And everybody else have to shove onto the big accordion one. How about that?
I mean, are you really? I mean, I'm not trying to be smart, but do you really want to pay $200 for a refrigerator and a umbrella over your head or a cabana over your head?
Do I? Certainly not.
But I mean, do you think it's right?
Absolutely.
But after you, John, after you pay all year long for your DVC, all your points, you don't feel a little ripped off that now you got to go pay to lay by that they're taking? You just got done telling me, which I know, that pool is very, very crowded as it is. During the summertime. Now, do you think it's fair to take its space away?
No. And like you said, I'm fairly certain they didn't, you know.
There's nowhere really to add space
there.
Yeah,
there's nowhere to add space. So, yeah, they've got to be taking away some regular lawn chairs and stuff. So,
just
less area for the rest of us.
I mean, again, you're not poor, but, I mean, most people that can afford to stay and buy that stuff have done well managing their – a lot of people manage their money. Just because you have money don't mean you just want to say, here, Disney, take all of it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, $200 or $129 for a half day. $129, I mean, what the hell for a half day? Now, do they come out there and rip it from you? Get out! Oh, my goodness. Sneak peek at the live-action Dumbo coming to Walt Disney Presents. I don't know if I'm on board with this movie or not. Speaking of movies, I finally seen Infinity War last night.
Really? Good grief, that took you long enough. Come on, man.
Free on Netflix, dude. I'm saving my money. I'm not paying extra. Trying to save to go back to the parks again. I need twice as much now. No,
well,
I just...
What'd you think?
A lot of great action, but... Dude, now tell me, am I just stupid or was it very confusing, that movie?
it got confusing as to what's really supposed to be happening, or yeah, what's going to happen with the next one and all that type of stuff. So who's dead, who's not, who's dust, and I don't know. And so I don't know. But like you said, there was a lot of great action. So
no, there was some great funny parts. I mean, Spider-Man is the best. I love him.
Oh, he is. Yeah.
The interaction between him and Iron Man is phenomenal. Some of the dumb jokes that they do, I like the Guardians of the Galaxy characters better on that than I did in the movie, the second movie.
That's the same thing I thought with Doctor
Strange.
Strange. Yeah, I like Doctor Strange and his whole gimmick as a sub-character in the big movies a lot more than I ever liked the solo movie. So
Yeah,
he fits well in with everybody else. So.
Yeah, well, he's a good I liked him because he didn't take any of Iron Man's crap. Like, he stood up to himself. Like, Captain America don't. But Captain America has that, I don't know how to put it, like, the dumb jock attitude where I'll just beat you up. Where, you understand?
Exactly.
Like, I wholeheartedly agree with that. This is that guy speaking right now. So I'm not trying to throw stones at it. I love Captain America. But the thing that I liked about Doctor Strange is, like, he intellectually told Iron Man off, if you follow
me. Right, yeah.
It wasn't like, no, you're not one of mine. No, you're not one of mine. It was like he was putting him in his place, which was very cool. So there was a lot of high parts, but it wasn't my favorite of all the movies because it was too hard to follow.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that when the second one comes out, it strings the stories all together, and then you can sit and watch both of them one after another, and you'll get the whole gist of what's going on. You know what I mean?
So. Yeah, but like, and a lot of things were dragged out way. It was way too long. They could have did other things, like told the story a little more, than have her sitting there frying his brain for 75 minutes with that, trying to get the stone to break.
Yeah.
I mean, that power, I mean, literally, I bet you that scene took 5 minutes of her just shooting that stream of heat into his head.
Into, what's his name, Ultron? Or
yeah. I call him Stonehead. I mean,
Stonehead.
I mean, he's the one with the stone in his head.
But,
you know, it was good. Hulk not wanting to come out to play no more. What the hell is that about?
I don't know. So, yeah, the Bruce Banner character is now supposed to. I don't know. They
Don Cheadle's alive. When did I thought he was dead? Don Cheadle. Now he's alive.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm like all confused. And the worst part of it is, I'm trying to watch it last night while my wife's sleeping. And dude, tell me if you guys agree with me out there. And again, it's just Doug being Doug again. Doesn't the music and the talking get on your last nerve with movies anymore? I mean, the talking, you can't freaking hear it. And the music is like, and the sound effects are through the freaking ceiling.
I mean, have that same problem. Up, down. The volume goes up. The volume comes down. Then you have a slow scene where there's probably some important dramatic conversation going on you can't hear.
So, exactly.
Yeah, it drives you nuts.
And then I'm laying in bed with my wife, so I'm cranking it up so I can hear the talking. And then next thing you know, spaceship's landing. And rah, the whole room's shaking. And she's like screaming, like giving me, like she ain't saying a word, but the eyeball opens up and looks at me. And it's like louder than the loudest scream on the planet, if you follow me.
Sorry.
And it was all night, dude. And I'm telling myself, just turn it off and finish it tomorrow. But I wanted to see the end. Yeah, and it's like, I must have woke her up like 27 times last night because of that crap. But it's all the time anymore. Like TV shows. Well, we're going to bed. Like like normal TV shows, the same thing. You have to crank it up to hear the conversation. And all of a sudden, somebody will pull in the driveway and blow the horn. And that's like so loud, the whole house shakes. Yeah, I don't get TV with that. A lot of people complained about it because it does the same thing if you notice with commercials. They're like a thousand times louder.
Yeah.
And I read a whole article where they were saying they were going to do something about that. Like, a lot of people were complaining. I don't think they did anything. My wife woke up the one time last night because she goes, could you imagine being in the stupid movie theater watching this? She goes, you would go deaf. If it's that much, you need noise-canceling headphones to get through the movie. I said, you're probably right.
Well, speaking about the commercials, Doug, why is it that people think that yelling at me in the morning is going to make me buy your product? I get up in the morning at 4:30 and I put the news on, and when it goes to commercial, people are yelling at me to buy their cars. Every time I hear that, I make sure to never, ever even drive into your dealership. No. Quit yelling at me.
No,
I mean,
it drives me nuts. We used to have a guy up here called Crazy Eddie's. He would just, every time his commercials would come on, he'd be screaming at you. You just wanted to shake him.
Yeah, stop.
But are you going to head over and see this? Walt Disney Presents Disney Hollywood Studios will be showing the sneak peek of upcoming Dumbo movie. Now, part of me wants to see this, and another part of me, it looks sad to me. Like, I don't like, I don't like circuses because I don't think the animals are treated right. Never have.
Well, I don't think there's very few circuses even left anymore, and that's basically why. Because no matter how you feel about captivity, animal captivity, and stuff like that, I mean, zoos obviously keep a lot better shape of, or a lot better care of animals than circuses ever could. Because you're leaving and moving to a different location every couple of days, so how could you possibly keep an animal in a nice environment? So
yeah, because me and Brenda feel bad when we drive to Disney all the time when you see the horse trailers on 95. Yeah, I mean, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it, because they're probably taking them to the vet or doing this or that or whatever they're doing, or they're pets or what. But I feel like, man, that horse does not feel like sucking this diesel fuel up all the way down 95. You know, you just feel bad for being stuck in that horse trailer for that day, let alone being in the circus and being transported, like you're saying, every couple days. And I know those people. I mean, you see some of the movies and stories of how the elephants are treated. I mean, I'm not talking about like Disney. I know Disney treats their animals like with priority. But a circus, just making an elephant stand on a barrel just doesn't seem like it wants to really do it.
No. And I mean, if you notice at Disney, even at Busch Gardens here in Tampa, I take that back about Busch Gardens. They used to do elephant rides at Busch Gardens. I don't think they even do that anymore, but they used to. But there's no, other than the bird show, there's no animals doing tricks for you. And even the bird show at Animal Kingdom is birds reacting
to natural
stuff. Natural environment.
Exactly.
Yes, they're natural actions. It's not any kind of...
It's not making it ride a unicycle.
Right, or silly stuff like that. So, but with the tigers, the elephants, the lions, nobody's performing for you.
They're just acting like
they would nature. So,
they're staying in a 5-star resort being taken care of.
Yeah, exactly.
Not having to get up and hunt their next meal. They're chilling. Hey, Mr. Hyena, how you doing? Hey, good morning, Mr. Lion. Did you get your food yet? No, it's on its way. Thank you. We're not going to even fight today.
Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah.
Although, we rode that one time, and it was the only – I've got these great pictures of the cheetahs that were probably – because they're on the other side of that berm when you come around that one time, and they're always laid up in the trees. They never come down. But one time, for some bizarre reason, both of them were right down probably 10, 12 feet from the actual Jeep, and they were prowling right alongside there, and they were looking – through, across the berm. They obviously can't get out, but across the berm, and some of the gazelles had strayed a little close to the thing. And it was the first and only time I've actually seen, you could see that predator looking at animal. He was like, ooh, boy, he wishes he could get over there.
Well, my great-grandfather wouldn't do right now.
I'm telling you.
They were out this trip when me and Brenda were down. They were actually roaming around. They were moving. They were like walking around, prancing. It was nice to see. Because those cheetahs are, they say the lions are the laziest. Those cheetahs are always asleep.
Yeah. I think that as many times as I rode Kilimanjaro safaris, that's the only time I've actually seen them up and about. So.
And I'm
shocked.
They like
the trees, don't they?
Yeah, because they usually hunt during the day, cheetahs. They hunt the opposite of all the other cats because of they're so fast, they hunt during the day to kind of get their prey hidden before the lions get up and go out and steal it from them.
Right, at night, so, yep.
But anyway, on March 1st, listen to my English, first.
Firth.
Beginning March 1st, 2019, catch a special preview scenes from Disney's all-new action adventure Dumbo, which is set to open in theaters on March 29th. Again, I'll watch it, but the previews look sad to me. There's something sad about it to me. I don't know what it is. I could be a knucklehead, which we all know, but I don't know. It just looks sad. Dumbo looks
No,
sad to
Dumbo's
me.
kind of, I don't know, Dumbo's a weird animated movie to me anyway, because they've got this what, like 5 minute almost psychedelic drug scene in the middle of it with all the colors and stuff like that. So it was a little bizarre of a movie to begin with. I like Timothy Mouse, but other than that, yeah, it is. And I do like the fact that it's actually set in Florida. So, but
Yeah. Well, he kind of. What's the other one? What's the Cat in the Hat? What's that one again? Not the Cat in the Hat. The crazy one. The one that has the Cheshire Cat in it or whatever it is.
Oh, Mad
Cheshire.
Hatter.
Yeah,
Yeah,
Mad
Alice in
Hatter.
Wonderland.
Yeah, I mean, of course Johnny Depp played in that, so I didn't see it. But I never liked that movie. It was always too freaky, psychedelic for me.
Well, any of the stuff that and this one's done by what's his name? Oh God, who's doing it? Who did
Tim Burton?
Tim Burton.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Tim Burton did
And I pulled that one out of my you know
there
what.
you go. He did Alice in Wonderland. He's done some of the other stuff. I think, yeah, he did Jack and Sally, The Nightmare Before Christmas. So yeah, this is another Tim Burton one. So, and his movies are definitely a little weird. So.
Speaking of a little weird, we'll congratulate all of our friends from up in Patriots land. Did you see the two weirdos playing the light with the lightsabers at Star Wars Galaxy Edge, Tom and Julian?
Having a good time.
I did, Pat tweeted that out to me or whatever, and I said the real Darth Vader is the true. That's him. It fits him. The dark side is there at the Magic Kingdom. I mean, at Hollywood Studios. Did they not? Those two not fit the dark side?
There you go, man.
Was that the boringest Super Bowl in NFL history?
It was horrible. It was like watching paint dry. I
Again,
felt, oh, yeah.
now I know why the penalty happened. It happened so New Orleans wouldn't have made it to the Super Bowl and kicked the Patriots' butt.
I would have so much preferred seeing the Chiefs and the Saints
I
in
would
there.
have. I just wanted the
Ugh.
Saints there because if the Saints would have played them, they'd have probably beat them. Or it'd have been a better game at least. I mean, the Rams, they look like they were showed up, but like somebody ripped the horns off their head and they weren't allowed to play.
Well, and not only that, it took the Patriots long enough to show up, and no big plays. There was no other than that one catch across the middle for Gronkowski. What was that? The only play over 40 yards in the entire game. I mean, one interception, no fumble recoveries for a touchdown, no interception. Oh my God! And people were saying, well, if you didn't like it, obviously you don't like defensive football. I
No,
love defensive football, but I like to see scoring on
again.
defense or some big play on defense, not just three and punt, three and punt, three and punt. I mean, come on.
Again, congratulations to New England. But this is my problem with football as a whole. They allowed them to play in that Super Bowl, totally different than they allowed them to play all season long. I mean, during the season and during the NFL the past few years, you're not allowed to touch a receiver. You can't grab a receiver. You can't hold a receiver. But apparently, in this game, the New England secondary just put saddles on the back of all the Rams receivers and just rode them all around the field.
Yeah.
They could do whatever they wanted. I mean, I it was amazing. I mean, New England's given up 40 points a game all season long or in shootouts, and then all of a sudden they got the greatest defense that the world has ever seen. Patrick Chung couldn't cover me. Now he's the world all pro safety out there. I mean, when he played for the Eagles, he gave up more big plays than I've ever seen out of a safety in my life. He was no safety either. If he was a crossing guard, the kids would just be running right out in the middle of the street. No safety at all. But when in New England now, he's like the world's greatest. He's Ronnie Lott reinvented out there. I mean, he's sitting there hitting, grabbing, the whole. It was just, I don't know. It was just very sad. I'm sitting here like, this is a totally different game. And fine, if that's how they want it to be played all season long, I'm okay with it. It's just like, and I've said this with other sports, just like in hockey. All year long, they're calling penalties and this and that, and then you get in the playoffs, and you're allowed to beat the crap out of each other. You understand what I'm saying? You can't change the rules. The rules need to be what the rules are, and the best team wins. Like you set yourself up for one way the whole season, and then when the season's over, you're allowed to play a different way. I don't understand it. And again, did you see that roughing the passer on Tommy?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it was beautiful. Poor Tommy. Can't hit him. Anyway, congratulations, guys. I know Judith, Dennis, Pat, all of our friends, Evan, the whole nine yards. They're all congratulations. You guys got to see your two creeps down in the parks. Just kidding. I just can't stand Tommy. Tommy and Johnny Depp are on my wall of fame, if you follow me.
Your favorite people.
Yes. It's just because they have so much and act like they have so little, if you follow me. Everybody's against them. Throw the flag. I got hit. I got hit. I'm playing football. I ain't supposed to be tackled. I'm Tommy. What's next? You got anything else, my friend? We're over at News Today.
Ron Miller, producer of countless Disney films and the former president and CEO of Walt Disney World Company, he passed away this past week. Miller came to the company via his wife, Diane Disney, Walt's daughter. Rest in peace, one of the former CEOs of Disney.
Yeah, so. It's sad. It's when all these old timers, the more they go, the less we're gonna get.
And I think he might have been one of the last CEOs that actually had a connection to Disney himself. You know what I mean? Actually being married to his Walt's daughter. So
yeah, it's a shame. I mean, that was the great era of Disney. You know what I'm saying? That was when they actually gave a, you know what about you. Dude, I'm still trying to get a hold of somebody I need that I know that, because my hours have been crazy. Because I still want to talk to somebody about my last trip. Again, I'm not trying to get money back. I'm not trying to get anything back. But I just want to tell them how horrible things were. You understand? Somebody that really matters, if you follow me.
Yeah.
And yeah. That's the other problem with technology, too. 10 years ago, if I called Disney and asked for, I would get somebody that I need to speak to. Now they just, when you finally do get through, it's like a brick wall trying to get you through to who you want to. They don't want you talking to anybody. They don't want you getting customer service. They don't want any of that anymore.
So since we're talking about customer service and guest relations and stuff like that, let me pose this question to you and see how you think I should have resolved this. So I'm working the FastPass. One of our rotation positions is up at the FastPass kiosk up at the Dollywood Bar. So we go up there, we have tablets, and we're helping people make FastPasses and stuff like that for the day, right? So I had a guest come up and say that his scooter had broken down, and he wanted to know would we be able to get him any assistance to get it out of the park. Well, it's not Disney scooter. It wasn't even a scooter rental like from sponsor Scooter Orlando. It was his own personal scooter. So at that time, what am I supposed to do? You know, so I was trying to tell him he may have to go up to guest relations, but I don't even know what they could do. It's his own scooter. And he's out there by himself. So it's I don't know. What do you think?
No, I mean, this is just me and I work for, and you working for Disney. I think guest relations should help him.
Yep, but the problem is getting him up to guest relations. It wasn't.
Well, I would have called somebody from guest relations, said, I have a client that his scooter broke down, and apparently because he's in a scooter, he needs assistance.
Yeah.
It would be like later. It would be like if he's.
Doing. It's just, yeah. He got all upset that we couldn't just drop everything and go help him right away. I can't leave this position, buddy. I don't know what to tell you.
No, but yeah, you should call somebody and you should be helped, because if he's riding a scooter and he's really that hurt. If he is, I mean, if he needs in need of one, then he needs assistance, and it would be like a person that's healthy that's in there by themselves that sprained their ankle or something. He's incapable of helping himself.
Your car won't start. Somebody's going to come help you. So
I would have definitely. Somebody should, you know. And again, years past, there'd be four or five people of Disney employees standing around that could have helped him. There's not that anymore. You guys are to your wit's end. You're at the maximum limit of what you need to do to handle the position that you're at. There used to be just people roaming, just handling guests throughout
the
park.
That's what they definitely need be, because we're in such a position where if you move, you're in trouble. You know, this is your position for the next 45 minutes, and you're there. You can't just go randomly help somebody or walk somebody over to something else like that. The only people that can do that are custodial. That's why a lot of cast members actually like working custodial, because they have the freedom of the park. You know, if I would have been able to find a custodial worker, I could have actually had him probably go up to guest relations and then come back with that, because everybody else, if you're working an attraction, you're not allowed to leave. You're there. Yeah. You know what I mean? For no reason. So unless it's an absolute emergency. So,
well, that's one of the things that we've been talking about over the past couple of years, more the last year than whatever, but we used to first go to the parks. There was always four or five cast members roaming each land, just walking around. You remember this, John, or am I like dreaming this? But I used to remember walking around, making eye contact with cast members, just walking around, being there for guests. And they don't have that at all anymore. Am I wrong about that? Do you remember that?
There's certainly less of people that have that freedom to do that type of stuff. I mean, where I work at the Lion King show, there's plenty of cast members. But like I said, we're locked into that area. We can't just go.
You have the amount of people you need to handle that attraction. You don't have extra people to
extra
let them
people,
go.
Yeah.
But they should have people just in the lands just to be there for help.
Yeah, there seems to be less leads and leaders and stuff like that of people that have that ability to do something else other than be locked into the position that they're at.
Because
so.
I remember, because I know in trips past, I would see cast members walking up to families. I remember cast members, if kids were crying, walking around, coming up to see what's wrong. How are yous today? Is there, like, just striking up conversation with you. That's all in the past. That don't exist no more. And it needs to be more for reasons like that. Disney used to be, if somebody was hurt or fell or needed assistance, it was like, chop, chop, they were on it. Now it's like, yeah, we'll be there. We'll let you know. You did the right thing, but yeah, somebody should have been there, I think, pronto to get him out of there, to help him.
Yeah, it. I don't know. And I know if it's the, you know, Disney scooter, they have no problem at all. And like I said, if it would have been a rental agency, they actually, we had a problem with one years ago, and the company came out and swapped it out. So that's always taken care of. But yeah, your own personal one, it's a little more difficult to arrange something. So
yeah, well, they should have the people there to help. Trolley Car Cafe, speaking of Hollywood Studios, Trolley Car Cafe debuts four new delicious treats at Disney Hollywood Studios. They look pretty good, John.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Starbucks there, right?
Yeah.
At Hollywood Studios. So the Trolley Car Cafe, Hollywood Studios, let's see. You can get your favorite Starbucks beverage, but there are usually a few tempting treats in the display case. Recently, four new desserts joined the menu. There's a chocolate pecan tart, an apple almond tart, raspberry Napoleon, and a latte cake.
Mm, they all look good.
Yeah, chocolate pecan, $5.49. It's got a thick, chunky pecan filling topped with a chocolate fudge layer and dark chocolate pieces. The apple almond tart, that's $4.99.
That apple almond tart looks really good.
Yeah.
Nice cup of coffee in the morning.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, I don't know if you're going to beat my carrot cake cookie, but there's a ring of crushed almonds surrounding a spread of thinly sliced almonds and caramel, and the raspberry Napoleon. That one is going to be $5.29. This is definitely the largest of the dessert. The layers of pastry are soft with layers of raspberry cream in the middle and on top. And the latte cake, I guess that's kind of like a coffee-flavored cake, right? Favorite of the four was definitely the latte cake. It's made up of a chocolate base and layers of cake and mousse. The chocolate, vanilla, and espresso flavors are layered together beautifully. It's even topped by a chocolate-covered espresso bean.
That looks good.
Yeah, that's the one I'd like to try. So, yeah, that does look good.
Those prices ain't bad. I mean, that's not bad. $4.99, $5.29, I'm okay with that. You get that in a cup of coffee, $10.
That's that's not one of those prepackaged cookies that you can buy. No,
yeah,
this
it's not my Hostess muffins that are about
exactly
four of them combined aren't the size of any of them anymore. new Disney Park collectible villains jewelry now at Walt Disney World. Buying any villains jewelry, John?
Actually, I'm pretty sure Lisa would probably like that type of stuff, so I may have to look at it at some point.
And the Disney Parks jewelry collection usually features fun, cute nods to the park icons and lovable characters, but what if you just wanted to channel your evil queen instead? I'm no Bob Iger is. This is probably, we should call this the Bob Iger collection. There's a collection for that. Check out the latest Disney Parks jewelry collection themed to Ursula, Evil Queen, and Sully from the Nightmare Before Christmas. She isn't evil, but I'm guessing they threw her in for the goth appeal. So they're pretty cool looking, John. Evil Queen Snow White Apple Necklace, $29. Then they have the Snow White Poison Apple earrings for $14.99. Dude, they look okay. I don't know. I mean, you'd fit right in the Haunted Mansion wearing them, I'll tell you that.
Well, there you go.
The Ursula Charm Bracelet is $24.99. And then the Ursula Choker Necklace, $29.99. I don't know if I want anything that says Ursula and Choker on it.
Yeah, it's a little too close, right?
And the Sally Choker necklace is $24.99. So if you want some villain jewelry, they're available now at the parks. What else we have, Johnny?
Yeah, so it's the Disney dining reservation modification has been removed from my Disney experience. For some reason, Disney's removed the ability to modify an existing dining reservation through the My Disney Experience mobile app. Before the change, guests could modify a reservation via the app up to 30 minutes before the reservation. The app would allow you to move the reservation to another available date and time and adjust party size based on availability. Guests would have to call to modify or visit the restaurant if it was within 30 minutes of the reservation. The app now instructs guests that they will need to visit WaltDisneyWorld.com to modify an existing reservation. But the cancellation option remains in the app. So I guess it's just an extra step. You're going to use the app now to modify your reservation. They're going to actually send you to Safari to go to the actual Disney website to modify your reservation. So hopefully you can still find it to modify it, because things do arrive and you need to change the dates of when you want to eat and stuff like that. So it sounds like an extra step, so maybe it makes it a little harder for people to cancel their reservations, is what it sounds like to me. So,
or if you can't, they just nail you for the $10 for that restaurant and you go to another one and pay there too.
Bingo.
Yeah. Judith and them were talking about this and Pat today, or last night I seen, menu changes scheduled for La Hacienda de San Angelo in Epcot's Mexican Pavilion. Judith said she ate there last year and the food stunk. I couldn't believe she had a negative word to say. And just so you know, Pat, Judith, I do love you guys. I had to do my Brady bash. Forgive me. Congratulations on your Patriots.
He wouldn't have felt honest to himself if he wouldn't have bashed Tom Brady a little bit.
No.
So.
Congratulations. He's the GOAT. Enjoy. Changes to La Hacienda de San Angelo's are scheduled to go into effect this Sunday, February 10th. Several items have been removed from the menu, but several new additions have been added as well. I think the restaurant is beautiful inside. I do think it's beautiful, but it wasn't the best food, do you think?
We never ate there. We ate at the one inside the pyramid.
Yeah.
And the food in there was okay. But
it's good. I enjoyed it in there, but it's just good. They're just not my favorite. I never had anything bad. It isn't like, oh my God, like Tutu Gusto. I can't wait to go back.
Yeah. And I mean, we have several great Mexican restaurants around us, so it's kind of hard to compete and with the food quality anyway, but the actual ambiance inside the pyramid is the coolest ever. I mean, actually, yeah. You can see the boats go by and the volcano erupting.
You literally feel like you're outside at night.
Yeah, in a little plaza. But the other problem was, well, the food was good. It just wasn't great. And the other problem was that it was so dark in there and that candle was so flickering that you could barely read the menu, so...
Oh, you want to read these menus? You're better than me
sure.
at this, John.
Looks like new additions to the starters menu. Tiadas. Oxican and tostado, barbacoa, beef, chipotle, black beans, chorizo, Mexican sour cream, and pickled onions. That's going to be $12. Sopes de chorizo. Chorizo, potato, chipotle, black beans, Mexican sour cream, queso fresco, and salsa verde. Would be $13. Cazuela de Cameroon, $14. Shrimp and chorizo tossed with shishito and red bell peppers, mixed vegetables, and a spicy tamarind sauce.
That sounds good. I was just worried what I would do with that shishito pronunciation.
Just a little too close. Right?
Items removed.
Yeah, they yanked off the empanadas de puerco and the aqua chile de camarón. New additions to the entrees menu, pescado del dia. That's catch of the day. That's going to be $32.
I'm going to walk in there next trip. Can I have the pescado del dia?
And the alambre de res, $27. Flank steak, bacon, poblano, and bell peppers with Monterey Jack cheese, lime, and salsa verde with flour tortillas.
$27.
And they yanked off the pan-seared snapper served with cascada pepper reduction, roasted tomatillos, serranos, onions, queso frescos, and esquites. And they also yanked off the salmon dish.
I tell you what, I would rather have the salmon and the snapper, I think, than the two they added. I don't like a flank steak, John. I'm not a fan of the flank steak. Are you?
That's usually we usually get that at the Mexican restaurant up in town, and they marinate it for like a day and a half, and it's actually fantastic. So yeah, if it's one of the, and also our Chinese restaurant does a really good flank steak sauté. So
most flank steaks I've ever had, I feel like it's the same as the bottom of my shoe.
Well, that's usually what flank steak is if you're not going to marinate it the heck out of it. And that's what you have to do. You have to have it in that marinade for almost like 24, 36 hours to really get it tender.
Now, do you know, and I'm not even trying to be smart, John, and this is just me thinking out, you know, the way I do. Do you know the amount of salt and stuff they have to put into that hard piece of meat to get it that soft? Yeah, and that's what I'm thinking. It's like, what did you have to do to this? Because if you don't do all this to it, it's horrible. I mean, marinade's supposed to flavor it, not tenderize it. When do you ever use that tenderizer and you read the sodium content that's in a tenderizer?
Oh, we don't use that. I mean, when I use marinades, I usually use a Brazilian steakhouse marinade or something like that.
Yeah, you're using something to flavor it, not to soften it up. I mean, if you're buying a piece of meat and you need to tenderize it enough to get it to tender, you're probably doing like 2,000 milligrams of sodium in that piece of meat. So that's what gets me. Every time I've ever ordered a flank steak, the last flank steak I got was at a House of Blues. And literally, I could have used it as a flatjack. I mean, I could have beat it on my – I mean, that thing was like – I was chewing for 75 minutes to get a bite down. It was just nasty.
I don't know. We've had it at the Mexican place in town, like I said, and it's actually very good, and it's not salty at all. But I'd give it a try here. I'd give it a shot. But catch of the day, I like it when they tell me what the fish is going to be. I don't like not knowing, and then it usually ends up being
a goldfish.
Yeah,
I'm kidding, but you know. New addition.
No, it ends up being whatchamacallit, tilapia, which is,
not
of all
good
the fish,
for you.
Is not the healthiest fish in the world for you.
No, so. They'll tell you, and this is just, you might as well just go out and eat a bowl of mac and cheese.
Yep, yeah, that's what I've heard. So, and everybody loves to talk about how fresh or how healthy fish is. Not if you're eating that one.
No.
So.
Mm. New additions to the margarita menu?
Yeah, Cafe de Oaxaca. It looks like illegal mezcal, but I'm going to go with legal mezcal, vanilla ice cream, coffee, and agave nectar.
That sounds very, very interesting.
Yeah. So that does. It's kind of rich, though, with ice cream. So, and they got rid of the 5 de mayo. Gracias a Dios, gin. And they had a bunch of – it's not on there, so why read it? But anyhow, so they've taken that off. So
I'll tell you what, that sounds good. It was kind of like that ice drink I had, I told you guys about at Japan.
The frozen.
Port wine. Frozen sake. That was so good, man. Me and Brenda enjoyed that. We walked over to the American. We walked a little bit. We sat down at the American Adventure area, and one of those tables, like the same table we sat at with you guys.
Okay.
We popped over there. And dude, it was so good. We shared that. It was a nice treat.
Yeah, usually we stop in that we stop in Japan almost every time we go around World Showcase because Lisa likes the kakigori, the frozen ice thing down there at the bottom. You know, you get different flavors. They have strawberry, watermelon, and all the different flavors. So I usually get her one of those, and then I get a frozen Kirin. But I think next time I'll skip out on the frozen Kirin, and I'll give your drink a shot and let you know what I think. So.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it because they have multiple flavors there too, John. Yeah, I think you'll really enjoy that. God bless you.
Thank you. Sorry.
You're not like a good sneeze on the show to lighten things up around here.
It's that time of year, man. Allergies are coming in, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. I just want to get rid of it. We call it the Harris flu. I mean, it just keeps going around and around and around. Well, they want you to wear it. It's all about safety, John. As long as you have your safety glasses on and your hard hat, everything is fine. There could be bottles on the floor for my guys to be walking on stilts. There could be mold in the room. There could be the spot of pots on each floor that ain't been pumped in 3 weeks. All that's okay as long as you have your hard hat on. I don't know why they just don't make people wear hard hats when they're driving cars and flying in airplanes because you're 100% safe. If you don't have to worry about it.
Hard hats save your life.
Everything, dude. Everything. As long as you have your hard hat on, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. I have some crying again today. They removed margaritas too, didn't they?
Yeah, they removed one. It looked like a
grapefruit.
So if that was your favorite, sorry.
I don't see much else here, John. Do you? More pictures of the Skyliner. Can't wait to hear people baking in there and what they're crying about.
Yeah, some new merchandise at Blizzard Beach. Maybe I'll actually get over to Blizzard Beach or Typhoon Lagoon this summer. I hope so.
Oh, here we go. Even more early morning magic dates at the Magic Kingdom added through August. More money, John. More money, more money, more money.
Makes you happy, doesn't it?
Yeah. It seems that while we may... I don't even read this. It seems many... What's bemoan mean, John?
Complain.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm bemoaning all the time.
There you go. You are the moaner.
Yeah. A special ticket events. These events continue to be with massive success. We actually recommend it. Believe it may be worth the price for many park goers. Early morning magic at the Magic Kingdom is no exception to this. And because of it, they decided to add even more dates and times to the increasingly popular events. Here are the additional dates and events which will take place most Sundays and Tuesdays in the morning. March, here we go, guys, here we go. Doug was an idiot for telling you it's a problem, but here we go. March 3rd, 5th, 10th, 12th, 17th, 19th, 24th, 26th, and 31st of March. April 2nd, 9th, 14th, 21st, and 28th. May 5th, 7th, 12th, 14th, 19th, 21st, 26th, 28th. June 2nd, 4th, 9th, 11th, 16th, 18th, 23rd, 25th, and 30th. July 7th, 9th, 14th, 16th, 21st, 13th, 28th, 30th. And August 4th and 6th. The events, yeah, they give you a great breakfast. The event includes a breakfast at Cosmic Rays Starlight Cafe and comes with cheese and cured meat, scrambled eggs, breakfast potatoes, and pancakes, and more. Breakfast don't look bad. An exclusive event, only access to the attraction lasts from 7:45 a.m. Breakfast runs from 8 to 10 a.m. and from 7:45 a.m. to 9. The attractions is from 7:45 to 9 a.m. So you get an hour and 15 minutes, and early morning magic hours cost $79. So for an hour and 15 minutes, you get it's $79. And all this is going to do is set precedents for, okay, for 3 hours, we'll charge you $210 during the day. We're going to break it into multiple segments. What do you think, John?
I just don't see it. $80 for an hour and 15 minutes. So basically what you're doing is you're getting in, running over, and riding Seven Dwarfs Mine Train with a shorter line. So you're paying $80 to cut your line on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, and then maybe you can hit Peter Pan.
But you're getting this magnificent breakfast, John.
Yeah, $80 breakfast.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's so worth it. It's only $69 for your children. So if there's four of you, it's only an extra $300, John. No big deal. I mean, come on, man. And then pay for your rest of the day ticket too on top of it, another $120. It's two bills per person per day. That's awesome. That's what it basically comes to.
Care of.
Do you think anybody doing this is not going to go to the park the rest of the day? I bet you 90% of them just stay at the Magic Kingdom with a regular pass. What do you think, John?
Oh, well, you'd have to.
But, I mean, it's slowly coming to where it's going to be. I bet you by the time Galaxy Edge opens up, Hollywood Studios will probably be $1.50 a day.
Yeah, it's going to be bad, and there's going to be some ridiculous thing like this for extra. You're going to pay.
That'll be about $2.50 for an hour.
Yeah, just basically to get in to ride the Millennium Falcon ride. So.
Yeah, they should just cut the middleman out and just tell you $2.50 to ride it. Idiots would pay it.
I don't know, with the hype of Galaxy's Edge coming and stuff like that, I'm honestly beginning to think it would have just been a better idea to open a whole new park all by itself and leave Hollywood Studios, you know, with a couple of new attractions, Toy Story Land and stuff like that, because it's gonna be so hard to do anything else at this park when there's gonna be so many people in line for Galaxy's Edge.
See what Disney should do? They should just go rate the rides, because we're gonna be doing that soon. And they should just charge you by the ride. Flight of Passage, $2.50. Kilimanjaro Safari, $75. I'll do it that way. Because it would be for you. It would thin out the crowds.
Well, there you go.
So what you do is, before you go on vacation, I mean, you just pay for all the rides you're going to go on for your week. At Hollywood Studios, Galaxy's Edge, Slinky Dog, Tower of Terror, Rock and Roller Coaster, blah, blah, blah. Combine them all for $400. You can go anytime during the week you want. It's a fast pass. And just do it that way. Round it off to a couple thousand for the week, and you're good. That's what it's going to end up being eventually.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it. You'll have go back to the e-ticket system.
I mean, basically, for $80, how many rides can you ride, John?
Wait, for an hour and 15 minutes?
Yeah.
That's what I said. Probably you could probably do Seven Dwarfs Mine Train if you ran, and then Peter Pan.
Maybe one more, three rides.
I don't even know, really. I mean, because if they open at 7:45, it's going to take you 10-15 minutes to walk back to, or at least 10 minutes to get back to Seven Dwarfs. So,
I mean, and then breakfast runs 8 to 10. So as soon as you're done, you got to run over and grab your grub.
Yeah. Well, and
you should have a voucher to eat whatever the freak you want that day.
Yeah, and
whatever you want.
What I was going to say is, that's the time you want to be riding attractions.
Yeah.
From 9 to 10, you know, okay, so you had your hour and 15 minutes. But from 9 to 10, you still want to be doing attractions because there's still less of a crowd there.
There you go, John.
At 10:30.
Yeah, because the advantage is you're in the park. So what they're doing, what they're really trying to do here, this is Disney being Disney again, which I know I get in trouble all the time. But they're hoping that half the people that pay for this don't eat the breakfast.
Oh, I'm assuming probably less than half of the people don't eat the breakfast. I mean, because you would be wasting what you basically paid to get in for, you know? I mean, you're wasting that time, so.
Yeah, because if you're staying in the park, like you said, John, if the park opens at 9, one of the advantages to doing this is, as soon as you're done riding the things you are, you're already back there. You could maybe get in line for Seven Dwarfs again, or head over to you understand what I'm saying? The Space or Splash or whatever the hell else you want to do. But no, they're hoping you go to breakfast, and all those people are sitting at breakfast while the new people come in, and you basically, you got yourself nothing if you don't go get on the other rides ahead of time. Basically, eating the breakfast is not good for this advantage.
Oh, no. If for some bizarre reason I wanted to pay for this, I would have gotten breakfast at the resort and not even worried about that breakfast at Casey's or Cosmic Rays. Like you said, I mean,
It should be a voucher for the rest of the day, whenever you want to eat. They should give you a food voucher for the day. One counter service.
Or something like that.
Just give you a counter service meal.
Yeah, or heck, if nothing else, I know you wouldn't do it, but some folks would. Give me an egg burrito, egg sausage burrito I could stand in line with and eat, or something like that, you know, because the way they have it now, you actually have to go sit down, and it's going to take you 15, 20 minutes to get your food and eat. So.
The bottom line for that kind of money, just give me a voucher. If I want to eat lunch at Pecos Bills or over at Columbia, I can. You should get just a voucher, because when this is done, at 9 a.m. for your ride, 7:45 to 9, you're in the park. I'm running. I want to go get on something else that the lines are going to be long for.
Right.
The advantage is you're getting in the park early. But
yeah,
no, if you go with it, so they're basically, you're, if you eat, you lose money here.
Yep. Well, they're figuring if you eat, you're making the line a little less for the people that are just now coming into the park, and if you don't eat, then they didn't have to worry about the food cost. So either way, they're coming out the winner. So
yeah, it just, I don't know, these all these events, man, are taking away the hours again. It's my muffin. My muffin used to be nice and big and worth the price of admission. Every time I'd open up, I get four huge muffins. Now one muffin equals the four I get now equals the one I used to get.
Dang that little Debbie.
Yeah. Well, it's Hostess, but I get
you. Oh, okay. Dang that Hostess.
Yeah. Anything else you have here, John, before you got to head over to Disney?
No, I think that's about it. I got to get on the road and go make some magic. So Doug can complain.
Nah, Doug can't wait to get down there again. But
that's the problem, right?
they have a new Princess Aurora cupcake over at the All-Star Music Resort, John.
Yeah, it's pretty fancy looking.
Yeah, it is. It's
pink
real
and blue, and got a crown on top of it.
And then they have possible image and concept art for the new Star Wars Episode 9 leaked online. IX, so inventive of them.
Well, that's Star Wars. You can't. I mean,
but I'm saying we did. They act like they broke a story. That's what you expected it to be. I'm not picking on it. I'm just saying, like, really, it would be like a Walt Disney having WDW as their logo. I mean, come on, we know what it is. Oh, the other thing is here, John. I'm sorry, there was something else I wanted to talk about. Oh, the bags again. They're still going on about these new resort bags being available at the park. Did you see these, John?
Yeah, I saw the ones that they're themed to the different parks now. So we have them at all the different parks, and they're kind of themed to each park. So, but from what I can tell, they're an option. If you buy something, you still want the plastic bag, you still get the plastic bag.
Yeah, they've been taken care of. So I'm good. As long as I don't have to pay for a bag.
I picked up some things yesterday out there, and I got a plastic bag with no problem. So
yeah, I mean, let me put it this way: if they're offering the plastic bags, I'm gonna buy a reusable one. If that makes sense to you, I want to reserve the planet, but don't sign with Ziploc and then tell me I have to buy a bag. I don't mind. I have bought bags at every supermarket. Philly bags. I have Disney bags. I got all them reusable bags here.
And do you ever remember?
And
then
I forget them every.
You?
And I yes, forget them every freaking time. But at Walt Disney World, I would buy it if it's going for something. But just don't make it look like you're being the perfect, and then you're selling yourself to the Ziploc company. You know what I'm saying, John?
Right.
That's the whole deal. But no, the bags are pretty cool looking. If they're going to conservation, I'm okay with it. Just don't make me buy one. Give me the option, but don't make me. And that's about it, Johnny. Go enjoy yourself. Make some magic at the Lion King. After all this is said and done, I wish my ass was coming in and sitting down and watching the show with you.
Yeah. Doug, what I wanted to say, a good friend of mine recommended a new podcast to me this week, and I've listened to a whole bunch of their episodes. I'll go ahead and mention it. It's called Crime and Sports, and it's a great show. I really enjoy it, but they're also very rude and offensive.
Yes.
So just be warned, if you do get to listen, do not be easily offended. But they, they make a good point. And I think I need to reiterate it here with you, Doug. The only thing we Doug's working a gajillion hours. I'm working 6-7 days a week now, and the only thing we ask of you guys is to rate our show. Please go on to iTunes and give us a review, because the only way that new sponsors will find us is based on those reviews. And so take a couple of minutes. It's fairly easy. And of this, I listened to about 10 of their episodes, and they kept telling me to do it, and there I was not doing it when we sit and ask people to do it, Doug. You know, so I made sure I went and did it. So, guys, if you get a chance, please rate and review us on iTunes. It means a lot to us. So.
Yeah, it is the complete opposite of what our show is, but they do. It is funny. They do a good job with it, and it shows you what the craziness is out there, why we all feel so safe at Walt Disney World.
you
know
go.
What I'm saying?
There you go. So.
But no, yeah, guys, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. It basically just moves us up the search engine in iTunes too. So more people get to hear the lovely voices of me and John, right, Johnny?
Yeah, exactly. So share us with the whole world. So that's great.
And again, guys, congratulations, Patriots fan. I know I got all you guys upset. I love Pat, Judith, Dennis, Evans, Tommy, especially Tommy. I love Tommy. I love all you guys up there in Patriots land. Enjoy your Super Bowl. I'm happy for you guys. And hopefully next year my birds are back in it. I can be happy again. But congratulations. I hope I didn't ruffle your feathers. But anyway, have a great week, everybody. Thank you guys for being such great friends of the show. Thank you for listening every week. And everybody be kind to one another. Right, John?
And if you swing by the Lion King show, look me up. I'll be there. So, Quaharini, folks, have a good week.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it, guys. We're going to pay our tabs, hop off our stools, and head on home. But we really appreciate you guys listening. If you could, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. Also, if you could, follow us over on Twitter at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy6767. And you can find us all at our website. It's all in WDW. Everybody be kind to one another, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.